Sahaba's path, a guiding light to paradise is place where Allah's pleasure resides. Every companion is destined for paradise. Every companion is destined for paradise.
Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen wa salatu wa salamu ala Sayyidil Mursaleen amma ba'd fa'audhu billahi minash shaitanir rajeem. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا حبيب الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله. Dear viewers of Madani channel, welcome and marhaba to another episode of the fantastic series that we are doing on the life of Sahaba Ikram, and it is aptly named Every Companion is Destined for Paradise. Har Sahabi ye Nabi Jannati, Jannati, Subhanallah. And I'm in the company of our esteemed guest, Maulana Sayyid Muhammad Madani Hafizahullah. And today, inshallah, Azza wa Jal, we are going to discuss the biography of the famous Khalifa of Islam, the third Khalifa of Islam, Sayyidina Uthman al-Ghani radiyallahu ta'ala anhu. Before that, let's first and foremost recite Salat al-Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has stated that the one closest to me on the day of judgment will be that individual who would have recited the most durood upon me. So without further ado, let's recite together. Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in wa sallam. Subhanallah. We are discussing that personality who has been given the glad tiding of paradise from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has also mentioned that he has purchased paradise twice. Subhanallah. And mashallah, he is that individual, Sayyidi, that from amongst everyone in the history of mankind, he is the only one privileged to have been married to two daughters of a beloved Nabi of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is our Aqa wa Mawla Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And two daughters of his were married to Sayyidina Uthman al-Ghani radiallahu ta'ala anhu, one after the other. Subhanallah. Look at that fortunate Sahabi Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It is mentioned that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had given him the glad tidings, Sayyidi, of him being his companion in paradise. Sayyidina Talha bin Ubaidullah radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he narrates that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says that every prophet will have a companion in paradise. وَرَفِيقِ فِي الْجَنَّةِ Uthman. And my companion in paradise will be Sayyidina Uthman radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Subhanallah. So yes, this is the great Sahabi of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that we are discussing, who was martyred in the path of Allah, like Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu. And mashallah, Sayyidi, what can be said about the grandeur of this great Sahabi of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Let's begin with his initial phase of his life. And how did he come into the folds of Islam, inshallah?
Subhanallah, Murasab, as we know that Sayyidina Uthman al-Ghani radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he was the third Khalifa of Islam. And the interesting point to note is that, you know, how Sayyidina Uthman al-Ghani radiallahu ta'ala anhu, how he came to embrace Islam. And this is quite fascinating because he was born 6 years after the year of the elephants in the holy city of Makkah al-Mukarramah. This is where he was born, and he comes from a very influential, a very powerful, wealthy clan and a tribe. That was the Banu Umayyah. He comes from that tribe. And subhanallah, at the age of 34 years old, he embraces Islam. How does he embrace Islam? He embraces Islam due to the teachings of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and due to the persuasion of his close friend Sayyidina Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala anhu. So in the early days of Islam, when he embraced Islam, his tribe, the Banu Umayyah, it was also influential at that time. And then there was the Banu Hashim, who were also powerful and influential as well. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam comes from the Banu Hashim. And Sayyidina Uthman radiallahu ta'ala anhu, when he embraced Islam, at that time, Sayyidina Abu Sufyan radiallahu ta'ala anhu, who was not yet a Muslim at that time. That clan, Banu Umayyah, they would have a rivalry with the Banu Hashim. Even before Sayyidina Uthman radiallahu ta'ala anhu could accept Islam, they always had this rivalry. And now that he went to the Banu Hashim, embraced Islam, they would even, you know, retaliate more and would put a lot of difficulties in the path of Sayyidina Uthman al-Ghani radiallahu ta'ala anhu. So this was, you know, in his early days, and subhanallah, at the age of 34, he embraced Islam.
Subhanallah, subhanallah. But Sayyidi, this is a beautiful incident of Sayyidina Uthman al-Ghani radiallahu ta'ala anhu embracing Islam on the persuasion of Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala, and then Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam comes and invites him toward Islam, and he is totally, subhanallah, in submission to the command of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he wholeheartedly embraces the deen of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And this should actually teach us a lesson about the sacrifices of Sayyidina Uthman al-Ghani radiallahu ta'ala, that he went against his whole tribe, Allahu Akbar, and he embraced the deen of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. His own uncle, Hakam, he actually locked him up after he embraced Islam. And he said to him that, I will not release you until you revert back from the religion of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and go back to your old religion. And to that, Sayyidina Uthman al-Ghani radiallahu ta'ala anhu says, no matter how many days you lock me up for, I will still not abandon the deen of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And then there was a lot of pressure from the other tribes to release Sayyidina Uthman al-Ghani radiallahu ta'ala, because he was one of the noble personalities of Quraysh. So at the end, he was released, subhanallah, and he never ever went back to his old religion, and he always remained steadfast on the deen of the beloved Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He sacrificed everything for the deen of the beloved Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, to an extent that when Sayyidi, there was an expedition for which Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was motivating the Sahaba, and at that time they had to prepare for the expedition of Tabuk. It was a very costly expedition for which all the Sahaba had to prepare. Subhanallah, different Sahaba, they are bringing different things to contribute towards this great expedition. Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he comes with everything that he had at his home. Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala, he brought half of his wealth, and likewise other Sahaba, they contributed in their own ways. Subhanallah. And Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is motivating the Sahaba to contribute towards the expedition. Sayyidina Uthman al-Ghani radiallahu ta'ala, he stands up and he says, Ya Rasulullah, I pledge to contribute 100 camels with all of its expenses, meaning with all of its loads. And then Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, further on, he keeps on motivating. Second time he stood up, he said, Ya Rasulullah, I pledge 200 more camels with all of its loads. And then the third time he stood up, he said, Ya Rasulullah, I pledge 300 more camels with all of its load, subhanallah. So how many camels in total did he pledge? 300 plus 200, that is 500, plus 100, that is 600, subhanallah. But when it came to deliver the goods, he delivered 900 camels, subhanallah, plus 50 horses. And that wasn't all. Then he also contributed 1,000 dirham. And on top of that, he topped it off with 10,000 more dirhams, subhanallah. And like that, he contributed 950 animals and 11,000 dirhams towards the expedition of Tabuk, subhanallah. Usually what happens when people pledge, you'd be lucky if you even get maybe 20 to 50% of the pledges, you know, when it comes to time to deliver it.
That's actually true.
Yes. And here, the great Sahabi of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Sayyidina Uthman al-Ghani radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he pledges 600, but he gives 950 plus all the money that he had given on top of it. Subhanallah. Look at his generosity. Allahu Akbar. Yes, Sayyidi, there are many accounts of his generosity in the court of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Inshallah, if you could mention one or two accounts of his generous nature that he was known for. Therefore, we call him Uthman al-Ghani, subhanallah. Not only was he rich, Ghani means rich in a way, and not only was he rich in the monetary sense, Allah Azza wa Jal had given him enough wealth, subhanallah, but he was rich in his heart as well.
Allah, Allahumma sab. This was, you know, the level of generosity of Sayyidina Uthman al-Ghani radiallahu ta'ala anhu, such that he never hesitated or he never pulled back when it came to giving in the path of Allah and Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when it came to strengthening the deen of Islam, he never ever held back, you know. And this is actually what we need to take from this account, is that those who are blessed with wealth, one should give it for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to uplift the deen, to uplift and strengthen the ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Like we see, there are so many accounts, you know, regarding the generosity of Sayyidina Uthman radiallahu ta'ala anhu. And one such beautiful account is that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam intended to purchase a well, and this was known as Bi'r-e Ruma, the well of Ruma. Ruma was the name of this person. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam goes to this person and tells him that, sell me this wealth in exchange for paradise.
Allah.
And this person, he says, O Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, this is all that I have, you know. I support my family and stuff, so I cannot sell it. And then Sayyidina Uthman al-Ghani radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he also heard, you know, what had transpired, and immediately he bought the well. And then together with all of that, he said that, I give this well in charity for the Muslimin, for the Ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So due to that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed him with Jannah. Imagine Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is saying that, who will purchase this well in exchange for paradise? And Sayyidina Uthman radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he was that individual who purchased paradise through buying the well of Ruma.
Subhanallah, subhanallah. That was his sacrifice for the Ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and how he would take care of a crisis that was there at the time, subhanallah. And it reminds us a lot about the beautiful works of our beautiful Department of Dawat Islami, FGRF. Subhanallah, whenever there is a crisis, global crisis in the world, FGRF is the first one to go and provide aid, subhanallah, financial aid in cash, all kind, subhanallah. And the brothers are there volunteering their services. We remember there was earthquake in Turkey. Our brothers were there. Our Rukne Shura Haji Abdul Habib Attari Hafizahullah, he was there, Allahu Akbar, in the middle of the earthquakes, while there were still tremors that were being recorded. And he is there, in a way, he's risking his life, Allahu Akbar, and he's still trying to serve the Ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The flood in Durban, we can't forget that. In Durban, we had a flood, massive flood, where hundreds of people, they lost their homes, Allahu Akbar. And there was shortage of water, meaning water supply. And people were battling to get food and other necessities of life. And at that point in time, FGRF was there. Trucks came with loaded trucks, subhanAllah, with rice, with groceries, and with water supply, subhanAllah, water bottles, drinking water. All of that was provided by the wonderful works of FGRF. In Palestine as well, mashallah, relief aid is there. People are being fed on a daily basis. Blankets are being distributed for those who are shivering in cold. Allahu Akbar. We cannot forget this. And all of this is inspired by the sacrifices of Sayyidina Uthman al-Ghani radiallahu ta'ala and the likes, subhanallah. Sayyidina Umar Farooq radiallahu ta'ala would also do charity and go out of his way to help people who are destitute, who are in need of help, subhanallah. And that is the quality of a true leadership, Allahu Akbar.
You know, Munasab, I recall one beautiful incident of Sayyidina Uthman al-Ghani radiallahu ta'ala anhu. And a person once came, and before he could even knock, he just heard Sayyidina Uthman radiallahu ta'ala anhu and his wife, they are having a discussion. And Sayyidina Uthman radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he gets upset because, you know, his wife used so much of oil. He got upset because the lamp that was burning, it was burning, you know, for a lot of extra time. And the oil that was in there, it was pointless, it was going to waste. And this person, he is outside the home listening to all of this. Now he is thinking to himself that how am I going to ask him to help me when he himself is in a situation? But nonetheless, he goes, he knocks on the door, and Sayyidina Uthman radiallahu ta'ala anhu opens the door. This person, he greets Sayyidina Uthman and tells him, this is my situation, that I need some wealth to support my family, to support myself. But I was hesitant to ask you because I overheard your conversation. Sayyidina Uthman radiallahu ta'ala anhu immediately tells this person that, see this treasure box over here, this chest that I have. He opened it and told this person, come and take how much you want. Take how much you want from here, it's all yours. This person, he took how much he wanted, and he was shocked. And he was curious to know that how did it turn out as such? Because a short while before, you were saying that you do not have much oil and the oil lamp is burning so much. And now you are telling me to take how much I want. So Sayyidina Uthman radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he says that when it comes to spending in for the sake of Allah, when it comes to spending to strengthen Islam and for the sake of Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then I give wholeheartedly. Whatever I have, I give for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is the level of generosity of Sayyidina Uthman al-Ghani radiallahu ta'ala anhu, which we also need to have. You know, one may have wealth but will want to hold back that wealth in order to increase more and more and more. A person may think that their wealth will decrease, but in reality, a person's wealth doesn't decrease. The more they give, the more charity a person gives, the more they give for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that wealth only increases even more than before. And this we learn from the lifestyle of Sayyidina Uthman al-Ghani radiallahu ta'ala anhu.
Subhanallah, subhanallah, yes. So you've heard the beautiful account of his generosity in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You know, generosity is not something that is attached to your pocket, but you must have a bigger heart to give. There are many who are rich, who are loaded with money, with wealth, but they don't have the heart. They have a heart of a chicken. Allahu Akbar. And here, those who may not have as much, but they have a bigger heart, subhanallah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala opens their chest. Therefore, Shaykh Saadi rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi very beautifully says, and is a wise quote of Shaykh Saadi rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi, he says, Tawangari badilast nabamal. And you become generous by the size of your heart, not by the size of your pocket. Subhanallah. So this is something we learn from the life of Sayyidina Uthman al-Ghani radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Inshallah, we are going to listen to a beautiful manqabat in the praise of this great sahabi of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, after which we'll come back and we'll discuss his mubarak title of Zunnurain. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Uthman al-Ghani, Uthman al-Ghani, ruk jaye mere kaam hasan ho nahi sakta, ruk jaye mere kaam hasan ho nahi sakta, faizan madadgar hai Uthman al-Ghani ka, خلق پہ لطف خدا حضرت عثمان ہے خلق پہ لطف خدا حضرت عثمان ہے جملہ مرض کی دوا جملہ مرض کی دوا درد کے درمان ہے درد کے درمان ہے خلق پہ لطف خدا حضرت عثمان ہے خلق پہ لطف خدا حضرت عثمان ہے نور دل و عین گئے صاحب نورین گئے نور دل و عین گئے صاحب نورین ہے
سب کے دل کے چین ہیں مومنوں کی جان ہے سب کے دل کے چین ہیں مومنوں کی جان ہے
اس خلق پہ لطف خدا حضرت عثمان ہے اس خلق پہ لطف خدا حضرت عثمان ہے
بیعت تھی جان دینے کی اور تھا نبی کا ہاتھ اس گات کی طرف بڑا فوراً سبھی کا گات سلمان کا بلال کا بوزر ولی کا ہاتھ شامل تھا ان کی ہاتھوں میں مولا علی کا ہاتھ سب گات پورے ہو گئے پھر رب کے حکم سے آقا نے اپنے گات کو بولا غنی کا گات دستے شہے دو سرا جو کہ عبداللہ تھا دستے شہے دو سرا جو کہ عبداللہ تھا ہاتھ بنا آپ کا آپ وہ ذیشان ہے ہاتھ بنا آپ کا ہاتھ بنا آپ کا آپ وہ ذیشان ہے
خلق پہ لطف خدا حضرت عثمان ہے خلق پہ لطف خدا حضرت عثمان ہے
گلشن دی کی بہار مومنوں کے تاجدار عزت ہے زی وقار زینت ایمان ہے حق نے وہ رتبہ دیا تم غنی ہم سب گدا حق نے وہ رتبہ دیا تم غنی ہم سب گدا کیا کہوں میں تم ہو کیا عقل و دل حیران ہے کیا کہوں میں تم ہو کیا کیا کہوں میں تم ہو کیا عقل و دل حیران ہے
خلق پہ لطف خدا حضرت عثمان ہے خلق پہ لطف خدا حضرت عثمان ہے
جو ہے امام انام جس کے ہیں ہم سب غلام جو ہے امام انام جس کے ہیں ہم سب غلام مرجع ہر خاص و عام حضرت عثمان ہے مرجع ہر خاص و عام حضرت عثمان ہے
خلق پہ لطف خدا حضرت عثمان ہے خلق پہ لطف خدا حضرت عثمان ہے
تم غنی سالک گدا ایک نظر بہرے خدا تم غنی سالک گدا ایک نظر بہرے خدا تم غنی سالک گدا ایک نظر بہرے خدا آپ جہاں کے لیے رحمت رحمان ہے رحمت رحمان ہے وہ رحمت رحمان ہے رحمت رحمان ہے
خلق پہ لطف خدا حضرت عثمان ہے خلق پہ لطف خدا حضرت عثمان ہے
جملہ مرض کی دوا جملہ مرض کی دوا درد کے درمان ہے میرے عثمان غنی میرے عثمان غنی میرے عثمان غنی میرے عثمان غنی عثمان ہے
صلو علی الحبیب صلی اللہ تعالی علی محمد صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم ویلکم بیک ڈیئر ویورز سبحان اللہ وی ور ڈسکسنگ دی جنراسٹی آف سیدنا عثمان غنی رضی اللہ تعالی جسٹ بیفور وی وینٹ فور دا کلام اینڈ ناؤ ایز آئی پرومسڈ یو دیٹ وی آر گوئنگ ٹو ناؤ ڈسکس دی ٹائٹل گیون ٹو سیدنا عثمان غنی رضی اللہ تعالی عنہ ذو النورین بیکاز ہی پوزیسڈ ٹو نورس سبحان اللہ ذو النورین ٹائٹل سیدی It is not only famous among us, the humans, but he was also known by this title by the angels, Subhanallah. And mashallah, why he was named Zunnurain, first of all, because Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, as it is our belief and our aqidah that he is the Noor of Allah. And he is the Noor of Allah, so therefore each one in his progeny, in his generation, in the generation of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, is that of Noor. And here, he was married to two Noors of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The first Noor being Sayyida Ruqayya radiallahu ta'ala anha. And the second Noor is Sayyida Umme Kulsoom radiallahu ta'ala anha. And it so happened, Sayyidi, that when he first got married to Sayyida Ruqayya radiallahu ta'ala anha, and he migrated with her, he also is the one who migrated twice in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when he came to find out that he's migrating in the path of Allah to Abyssinia with his wife Sayyida Ruqayya radiallahu ta'ala anha, he says that Usman is the first of my ummah to migrate with his family in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allahu Akbar. And then Sayyida Ruqayya radiallahu ta'ala anha, after this migration, she passes away. And thereafter, he comes in the court of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he says, Ya Rasulullah, today I'm saddened because my connection with you, Ya Rasulullah, is being cut off now. The connection I had with you, the relationship through your daughter, it has been cut off now. And at that point in time, Allah Azza wa Jal, he revealed the commands through Sayyidina Jibreel alayhi salam, that go and tell Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam to give another daughter of his in the nikah of Sayyidina Uthman Ghani radiallahu ta'ala. And then Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam goes to his beloved daughter Sayyida Umme Kulsoom radiallahu ta'ala anha, and he says to her that I'm going to marry you to an individual who in his nature is like Sayyidina Ibrahim Khalilullah alayhi salam, and in his appearance he is like your father. Subhanallah, subhanallah. And he is discussing none other than Sayyidina Uthman Ghani radiallahu ta'ala anhu. And then he says to his daughter, and after that she is ready, subhanallah. And this is how he got married the second time to the beloved daughter of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, namely Sayyida Umme Kulsoom radiallahu ta'ala anha. And even after Sayyida Kulsoom radiallahu ta'ala anha passed away, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam says to Sayyidina Uthman Ghani radiallahu ta'ala anhu that if I had a third daughter left to be married, I would have married her off to you. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, subhanallah. And then he says, even if I had 40 daughters, I would have given them all in your nikah. Allah, Allah. That is how he was loved by the beloved Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And Sayyidi, while we were discussing the charity and his sacrifices for the ummah, it is mentioned in one of the accounts that there was a drought once upon a time. There was a drought in Madinah Munawwara. And during this drought, people were suffering from the drought. There was hardly any food to eat, grains, rice, wheat, etc. And Sayyidina Uthman Ghani radiallahu ta'ala, as we all know, he was a businessman, he was a trader. And he would import food stuff from overseas, from other countries. So once food, the grain, you know, the load of grain came, was imported by him from Syria, from Sham. And when the load of grains came, and at the time, Sayyidi, business is all about supply and demand. So when the demand is high, you can name your price and people will buy, people will pay the price. So here the grains were high in demand. So all the business people, they came, because Sayyidina Uthman Ghani radiallahu ta'ala was the sole distributor of the grains, because it belonged to him, the imported grains that were there. And they all came to him and they said that, please sell it to us and we'll give you a lot in profit. Sayyidina Uthman Ghani radiallahu ta'ala, and who he asked them, what profit are they willing to give him if he sells the grain to them? And they said, for every 10 dirham that you have spent and for importing these goods, we'll give you 2 dirham for each 10 dirham that you've spent. So that is roughly 20% profit. He tells them that is too little profit. So he asked them, can you do it better? They said, okay, 4 dirhams. For every 10 dirham that you spend, 40% profit. So he said, no, still little. He said, how much do you want? Nobody will give you more than what we are offering. This is the best that we can do. He said, my Rabb Azza wa Jal will give me 10 dirham for each dirham that I have spent in his path. Subhanallah, which is better than any metrics. Allahu Akbar. 1000% profit. Subhanallah. And then he says that bear witness that I have given all of this in charity in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the creation of Allah. Subhanallah. And that was his generosity, his sacrifice to give in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and help people in crisis. Sayyidi, there are many other virtues of Sayyidina Uthman Ghani radiallahu ta'ala, and let's inshallah azza wa jal hear some of the virtues of this great sahabi of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, especially how he ran his caliphate, how he would deal with people, and what were some of the challenges that he faced and how he faced those challenges. Subhanallah.
Subhanallah, Murasab. Well, we are talking about, you know, Sayyidina Uthman al-Ghani radiallahu ta'ala anhu. He was, as we've mentioned before, he had these qualities of being generous, and he had these qualities of always following the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He had the qualities of kindness in him, of concern for others as well, for the well-being of others. And one such quality that, you know, that is truly remarkable is his modesty, his shyness. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentions in a hadith that shyness, having modesty, is from the branches of faith. It is from Iman. And this we see in the embedded in the life of Sayyidina Uthman al-Ghani radiallahu ta'ala anhu, such that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made dua for Sayyidina Uthman radiallahu ta'ala anhu by saying that, O Allah, my Uthman. Imagine Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is saying, O Allah, my Uthman, he is shy. And he feels shy, he feels he has modesty. So, O Allah, don't make him stand in your court and hold him accountable for anything, because my Uthman, he is shy. This was the dua of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam for Sayyidina Uthman radiallahu ta'ala anhum. So mainly what we see is, you know, well, we're not all, but some people is mainly when it's out in the public, then some would want to display this modesty, this shyness. But when the same person is behind closed doors, then it's a different story altogether. You know, where no one is watching a person, then shyness, modesty, it runs out from a person. But in the life of Sayyidina Uthman al-Ghani radiallahu ta'ala anhu, we do not see this at all. Because Sayyidina Imam Hassan Basri radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he has explained and said regarding the modesty of Sayyidina Uthman al-Ghani radiallahu ta'ala anhu, that if he had to be behind closed doors or in a place where no one is watching him, or even in his own room, he would still not take off his clothes while bathing. Imagine this level of modesty, and this is what gains a person respect, nobility and honor in the society, if a person has modesty. In another hadith, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned that that person who does not have modesty, then he must do what he wants to do.
Allah.
This shows, you know, the severity of not having modesty, that there is no regard for such a person. You know, he must do as he wishes. But here Sayyidina Uthman al-Ghani radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he is teaching us how to have modesty in open spaces as well as in closed spaces.
May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us that modesty through the sadaqah of Sayyidina Uthman al-Ghani radiallahu ta'ala anhu. And I've read one narration where Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam says that every nation has a particular characteristic for which they are known. The characteristic for my nation is modesty. Subhanallah. We are the modest nation of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he is the modest khalifa of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Sayyidina Uthman al-Ghani radiyallahu ta'ala anhu. And you've mentioned, Sayyidi, that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam had prayed in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala not to take accountability of Sayyidina Uthman al-Ghani radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Inshallah, that wouldn't happen because Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam already requested in the court of Allah. And here there's a beautiful hadith which will put smile on our faces, inshallah. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says due to the intercession of Sayyidina Uthman radiallahu ta'ala anhu alone, 70,000 such people will enter paradise who were deserving of hell, and that too without accountability. Subhanallah, subhanallah. May Allah Azza wa Jal forgive us all without accountability for His sake. Ameen, bijahin nabiyil ameen. Sayyidi, another beautiful achievement of this great Sahabi of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is to bring the Quran in the form of a book.
Absolutely. Subhanallah. And this was his title actually.
Yes. Jami al-Quran.
Subhanallah.
Allah Azza says in his beautiful khutbah, وَعَلَى جَامِهِ الْقُرْآنِ كَامِلِ الْحَيَاءِ وَالْإِيمَانِ مُجَهِزِ جَيْشِ الْعُسْرَ فِي رِضُ الرَّحْمَانِ أَمِيرِ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ Sayyidina Uthman ibn Affan radiyallahu ta'ala anhu. Yes, he is that Uthman al-Ghani radiyallahu ta'ala anhu who has compiled the Holy Quran in a book form. This effort actually started from the time of Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiyallahu ta'ala anhu. With the consultation, he consulted with Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu as well, and they were in agreement, and that is how the work began. Right. And he had commissioned Sayyidina Zayd radiallahu ta'ala anhu to continue forward compiling the Holy Quran, and it was commissioned by Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala anhu during his caliphate, when a lot of Huffaz of the Holy Quran, they were martyred. Right. And they feared that, you know, we need to safeguard Quran and put it in a book form. And by the time of Sayyidina Uthman al-Ghani radiallahu ta'ala, that manuscript was still kept, but it was in a book form. So by the time of Sayyidina Uthman al-Ghani radiallahu ta'ala anhu, people had adopted to different ways, meaning different qiraats of the Holy Quran. And Sayyidina Uthman al-Ghani radiallahu ta'ala anhu had achieved that mission of bringing the entire ummah to one recitation of the Holy Quran, subhanAllah, conform to the Mus'haf-i Uthmani. Allahu Akbar, subhanAllah. And he kept the tartib and the order of the Holy Quran in the same way that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had commanded. Subhanallah. So wish of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is a command of Sayyidina Uthman al-Ghani radiallahu ta'ala anhu, and here he fulfills this obligation of bringing Quran in a book form, and 7 original manuscripts that were sent out to different areas where Islam had spread around the world. Allahu Akbar. So each one could benefit from the united scripture of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Holy Quran, the divine speech of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this was the efforts of Sayyidina Uthman al-Ghani radiallahu ta'ala anhu. And he was so ardently, you know, known for reciting the Holy Quran. He had such an attachment. Not only did he compile the Quran in a book form, but he was so passionate about reciting the Holy Quran that sometime within 1 or 2 rakat, he would finish the entire Quran. That is how passionate he was with his Quran recitation. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also grant us love for the Holy Quran for the sake of Sayyidina Uthman al-Ghani radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Ameen, bijahin nabiyil ameen. Inshallah, see, now we move towards the final part of his life where he was martyred, and what were the circumstances like in which he was martyred, and what happened to those who were the perpetrators of the martyrdom of Sayyidina Uthman al-Ghani radiallahu ta'ala anhu.
Well, Munasab, in this regard, it is mentioned, Munasab, that for several weeks, his house was laid siege by the rebels, those who were his enemies. And they surrounded his house, and they even stopped him from getting water supply. They cut off his water supply. And due to that, he would face intense thirst. And because of that intense thirst, he would keep fast, you know, during the day. This continued for several weeks until a time came where he was so thirsty. He says that I would fast during the day, and Sayyidina Abdullah ibn Salam radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he came to see me. And when he came to see me, he looked at me and said, he looked at Sayyidina Abdullah ibn Salam radiallahu ta'ala anhu and said that I saw Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam through the skylight. Okay. I saw Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in a very sympathetic manner asked me that, "Oh Uthman, these people have made you restless due to thirst and cutting off your water supply." And Sayyidina Uthman radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he says, "Yes, Ya Rasulullah, these people, they have they have done so. And then Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam tells him that if you want, if you desire, if you wish, then I can help you against these people. Or if you want, then you can break fast with me. Because he was fasting during that day. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam says, oh, if you'd like, if you wish, you can come to me and break your fast. Sayyidina Uthman radiallahu ta'ala anhu, nothing was more, you know, important to him than Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So he says, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, my wish and my desire is to break fast with you. And it is mentioned that on that very day, Sayyidina Uthman radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he was martyred whilst reciting the Holy Quran. Sayyidina Uthman al-Ghani radiallahu ta'ala anhu, when he said that he saw Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, it was not in a dream. Rather, it was while Sayyidina Uthman al-Ghani radiallahu ta'ala anhu was awake that he saw Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam.
Love is true, Sayyidi. It is possible.
100%, 100%. And the aftermath of regarding that person who assassinated Sayyidina Uthman radiallahu ta'ala anhu, it is mentioned that Sayyidina Abu Qilaba radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he says that in Syria, I came across a person, and this person, he was laying on the floor, on the ground, and he was screaming out and crying out that what a pity on me, I am destined for hell. And he's continuously reading these sentences. So Sayyidina Abu Qilaba radiallahu ta'ala anhu approaches him and asks him that, what is the matter with you? Why are you saying such statements? Then he says that, don't ask me about my situation, because I am that ill-fated person who intended to assassinate Sayyidina Uthman radiallahu ta'ala anhu, and due to that, both my hands and both my legs have been cut off because of that. And I am cursed to enter Jahannam. So the same person who with no arms and with no legs, he gives the reason of how did all of this came to be. And he says that I went into the home of Sayyidina Uthman al-Ghani radiallahu ta'ala anhu in order to assassinate him. And when I entered the home, his wife began, you know, shouting at me. And so while she was shouting at me, I was enraged and I slapped her. And when I slapped her, Sayyidina Uthman radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he invoked such words upon me and he said, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala cut off both your arms, cut off both your legs, and may you be cursed to go into Jahannam, into the fire of hell. And due to that, I am in this situation now.
Subhanallah, when the awliya of Allah, those Allah loving people, when they say something, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grants it. This is mentioned in Hadith Qudsi, where Allah azza wa jal says that if they ask me for something, I grant them. Subhanallah. And here, the prayer of the wife of Sayyidina Uthman al-Ghani radiallahu ta'ala who was answered, and it manifested in this way. And this is what happens if you are cruel to those who are loved by Allah and His beloved Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And inshallah azza wa jal, this concludes our today's episode and program. Inshallah azza wa jal, in the next episode, we will discuss the biography of the great Khalifa of Islam, the cousin of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and Amir al-Mu'mineen. He's also known as Babul Wilaya. He's also known as Babul Ilm. He's also known as Mawla Ali, subhanallah. Inshallah azza wa jal, in the next episode, we'll discuss the biography of Sayyidina Mawla Ali, karamallahu ta'ala, wajhul kareem. Until then, keep reciting Salat ala Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam and keep watching Madani channel. Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam.
Every sahaba's path, a guiding light to paradise is placed where Allah's pleasure resides. Every companion is destined for paradise. Every companion is destined for paradise.